The book of Acts contains the acts of the Holy Spirit, and the acts of the Holy Spirit working through the apostles. But if you look in most Bibles, it doesn't say that. It'll say the acts of the Holy Spirit by the apostles. And the apostles represented what the Holy Spirit was doing. But it was the Holy Spirit was actually doing it, and he's doing the same thing today that he did back then. He hasn't changed. So why should we want and desire, or should we want and desire, that same indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Should we want what the church in the book of Acts wanted? And the church in the book of Acts had. Ever watch a TV evangelist? You know, I mean, we all have. They get wrapped up in emotionalism. Some of them do. Some of them don't. But the Holy Spirit's not about emotionalism. There are just days, frankly, when we're not in the mood to worship. We all have those days. Days come and go, and we kind of get in the habit, and if we miss reading the Bible or looking it up on our phone, technology is great. I got the ESV Bible on my phone, and I can sit down and read it anywhere I want. But if we miss that someday, and next day we don't feel like we're where we should be, but really that's when God begins to move in our lives. When we're in the valley, when we're down in the pit, when things aren't perfect. A couple weeks ago, we had a service here, healing service. And you never really know how those are going to go. You know people are going to be touched. That's a given. Because we're here doing His will. So that's how I know that. But during that, the Lord gave me a couple words of prophecy on two different people. And you might think, well, that sounds really weird. But it's not really weird. There are times that the Holy Spirit will anoint us. And we will experience things that we have never experienced before. And I've experienced that before. And it's an amazing thing to be a part of. Greg read it earlier today, and we're going to talk about that anointing that gives the church power to move forward. I think one of the remarkable things, and it tied in with Ray's class this morning, is talking about how do we live in faith with people we disagree with. Might be a good way to put it. How do we accept people that we disagree with? Why do we condemn people that we disagree with? And the amazing thing that came out of this. So all these people were in one room. That's, you know, that's like us in one room. The amazing thing that comes out of that, that's really remarkable, is Luke said they were all in one accord. That means they were all in agreement. They were all there for the same purpose. Everyone together. And something happened that day that changed the church forever. And that was the message of the church that day. First, the Bible says the house was filled. The house was filled with people. Then the people were filled. And once the people were filled, the people were enabled to move forward and build the church. And so it's the Holy Spirit that accelerated that move. Through the power of God. When the Holy Spirit's moving and energizing a church, there is no way that it can be stopped. What the church needs today are Spirit-filled, And I mean spirit-filled. People that seeking nothing more than the will of God. And God's moving in their lives. Because it's spirit-filled people that take the message to the street. I love what Roger said this morning. He said, I've invited people to church. That's taking the message to the street. We're not responsible for making them come. But we're responsible for doing ministry in the street, and that's what God's called us to do. Acts 19, 1 through 6, Paul was in Ephesus when he said this is to unbelievers. He said, it happened that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul went through the upper districts and came down to Ephesus. And he found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? That is, when you believed in Jesus Christ. And they said, no, we've not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. And he asked, into what were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, well, John, he performed a baptism of repentance, continually telling people to believe in him and to believe who was coming after him, and that they too should confidently, in confidence, seek the Holy Spirit. But he said, after hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began speaking in unknown tongues or languages and prophesying. And that last phrase scares some people. Speaking in unknown tongues. But it shouldn't. I got fired from a church for that. And I'm not weird. That weird. But this is what happened. Paul says something here. It's interesting here. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? It's not saying a person's not a Christian. But there's more to it than that. What Paul is saying here is that you can believe in Jesus and be a Christian and go to heaven and not have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And not have that as the goal in your life. And so if we want to move in the power of God, we need to have that Spirit in our lives. And let me share something with you. We celebrate Jesus' birth December the 25th every year. And when God came into earth, he came in as Emmanuel, God with us, or God tabernacled with us. God was dwelling among us. But when he sent the Holy Spirit, get this, he filled them. He didn't just dwell among them, but he filled them. And there's a difference of being among and being filled. There's some ideology out there that says that once you're forgiven or saved, that's all there is to it. But if that's the case, Matthew would not have said, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled that Matthew used is the same filled that Luke used in the book of Acts. Once God forgives us and we become a Christian, we don't know everything that there is to know about Christianity. I'm not sure we ever get there. But it's something that we strive for. We just don't know everything about God when he forgives us. There's a vast difference about knowing about God and knowing God. Huge difference. We all know God created the heavens and the earth. We all know that. But to experience that is different. There's a vast difference between the Bible, knowing the Bible, and knowing God. There's some great Bible scholars out there, great philosophers that know the Bible, but maybe an atheist. could be an agnostic for all I know. It's one thing to know what God said, and it's another thing to know who the God was that said it. We know God had inspired, you know, the Word of God. We know He inspired the Bible. But that whole Genesis account, in the beginning, God said. Do we have that? Is that something we've got? If we're completing our relationship in salvation with Jesus Christ, we're going to heaven. But there's a difference about being bound for heaven and being a receiver of the filling of the Holy Spirit, of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a huge difference about it. It's one thing to know the Holy Spirit. It's another thing to experience the Holy Spirit. A lot of people that don't experience that infilling of the Holy Spirit never live a victorious life. They're always beat down. They're always poor in spirit, poor financially. Cars always broken down. Their spirit's always beat down, because they don't experience that. And so what we see here is the Holy Spirit in Jesus gives us an example to follow. If you remember, once the Holy Spirit fell on Jesus, when John baptized him and the Spirit came down, that's what blew his ministry wide open. Had that not happened, he'd have been like the rest of us. I really believe that. But there's a reason that the Holy Spirit came down on him. And so what happened when that occurred was, he was no longer Jesus, but he was Jesus Christ. And Christ wasn't his last name. Christ means anointed one. And so when he said to the disciples, he said, "Who am I? Who do you know who I am?" And Simon said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus' response to him was, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto you, but the Father who is in heaven." So we've talked for the last 5 weeks about this trip from the cross to Pentecost. And so what does it all mean? What is that whole idea of the cross? What's the cross do for us? Well, number one, it invites us. It invites us into a fellowship. It invites us into his household. It's a place where we can belong to each other, belong to one another, and be part of it. One of the things we're talking about this morning was people attending church. And I've said this before, it's so we can share our gifts. Everyone has a gift. And we're going to do a series, this probably maybe this summer, on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to do a gift assessment. And we're going to give you an opportunity to look at what your gift is. If you want to do it. And then how can we blend all of those gifts together to blow the top off of ministry in Ross? How do we do that? What else does the cross do for us? It transforms us. It cultivates us. It cultivates fellowship. It takes pride and turns it into humility. That we're no longer prideful about what we did. I read that letter and I'm thinking, you know, that's great. But it would have been great if I never got the letter. Because I know what we're doing. I'm glad somebody else recognizes it. But they haven't sent us a bonus check. Nor will they. Which is okay. He breathes life into us. He nurtures us. He restores us. He totally changes who we are. If I look over this way, it's easier with my leg on this stool. Because sometimes when I look this way, it hurts a little bit. Yeah. Next week, flip-flop. Actually, I will be honest with you, I have no surgical pain. I just have pain from trying to stretch the muscles that just don't want to move. So what the world says is kind of a common thing. In our culture, it wants to sort people out. And if you don't believe me, as you watched the news last night, with the president's rally in Melbourne, Florida, in Florida down there. You got people on both sides of the street, support, non-support. Blacks for Trump, blacks against Trump. Hispanics for Trump, Hispanics against Trump. And I'll be honest with you, it was the same way when Obama was a president. Same thing. Same way, it doesn't change. But that's what the world wants to do. It wants to separate, and wants to sort, it wants to divide. It wants to exclude certain groups. I had a gentleman come in here, I shared this Thursday evening, was here this week, and I was out here in the church or something, I walked through and I saw him walking away, and so anyway, this is what the world would, no, this is what I did, I'll tell you what the world would do. But I saw him walking out and opened the door and I said, can I help you? And he come back in, African-American guy, nice guy, really when we were talking, and he has living on $780 a month, wanted to know if we could give him $20 for food. Wife was in the car, his daughter was in the car, and so we talked a little bit, and he saw some pamphlets laying out there, and he said, can I have these? And I said, sure. That's what God would have us to do. You know what the world would have us to do? Go find an AME church. That's what the world would say. That's what Christ has done to change the world and to change your hearts. And to change my heart. God wants us to realize there's more than dressing up and coming to church. He always wanted a relationship with us since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. He always wanted that kind of relationship, and he finally has it again. But it wasn't complete until he shed his blood. And so because of this, and because of what he did on the cross, we're now redeemed. We are forgiven when we ask for it and seek it. He restores business relationships. Business partners that can't get along. He can restore that and does restore it. He restores family relationships. Anybody got some person in your family that doesn't like you a whole lot? I hope not, but you know, I mean, that's kind of the way things are, you know. I have people in my family that... it works both ways. He restores marriages. He restored ours. He can do a lot of things. He revives churches. That infilling of the Holy Spirit will revive a church. It can take a dead church and make it alive. It can revive hearts because that's what he does. It renews our minds. Matthew says, renew your mind daily. How do you renew your mind daily? Read. I don't care if you read John 3:16 for a year. If it means something. That's what it's all about. So Jesus decides to dwell among us. So he's walking down the road one day. And there's a guy sitting along that's blind and been begging all of his life, a guy by the name of Bartimaeus. And he yells out to Jesus, and Jesus doesn't even touch him. There's nowhere recorded in the Bible he walks over and touches Bartimaeus' eyes. But he received his sight again. There's a woman with the issue of blood. She said, if I could only touch his garment. Nothing says that he reached down and touched her. But she touched him, and he knew power went out from him. He knew something happened. He walks into a stinky grave that Lazarus was in. It had been there for 4 days. And said, Lazarus, come forth. And that same Jesus wants to dwell in us, dwell in our lives, be part of us. Man had been waiting for Pentecost since the fall of man. And when the perfect was come, we no longer have to slay animals. We no longer have to go to a priest to put the blood on the mercy seat of Jesus Christ. He told us to tarry. And when we tarried, the Holy Spirit came upon us. And Jesus said to the disciples, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in all of Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what he said. But they had been witnesses to the resurrected Christ, but they didn't have any power. They had taken his body down off the cross and buried him, but they had no power. They were in the upper room when he said to them, you shall be my witnesses. But they had no power. What happened in Acts 2 happened again in Acts chapter 10, verses 44 and 45, when Peter was praying and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And so that's what becomes the difference in what our lives are. If you can imagine, this is your life. Maybe a glass half full, which would be my life. Or maybe some people's glass, life half empty. But what the Holy Spirit wants to do, and if this represents the Holy Spirit, he wants to take that and he wants to fill you. And he doesn't just really want to fill you. What he wants to do is he wants to overflow you. And that's what his desire is not just to stop with a full glass, not just stop with just a full heart, but he wants to overflow us, and he wants us to change. He wants to overflow us in his presence. Song this morning, everyone needs compassion. Love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness. That's the ticket to heaven. The kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. But listen to the next verse. So take me as you find me. Forgiven. All my fears and failures. Fill my life again. Fill it with the Holy Spirit. I give my life to follow. Everything I believe in, now I surrender. It's a big step, folks. It's a huge step. It's not an easy step. But I believe what he's saying to us is, come out of your tradition, come out of your guilt, come out of your shame, come out of your condemnation. Come out of your weakness and find strength. Because he says, he who hungers and thirsts will be filled. We're going to collect the offering. We're going to sing the closing hymn. But as I said, I'm going to stay up here. And if you would like prayer for anything, the band wouldn't mind just playing while we pray if someone wants to come up. I'd like for you to do that if you feel that there's anything in your life, if you're looking for a deeper walk, feel free to come up. But I know God is, it's his desire to move in our lives. God bless you.